And God gives many different people many different ways. And we give Him praise and honor for all those things. Tell you what, it's such a special treat for me today to have so much of my family here. This is awesome. This is just awesome. So I just praise God for that and thank you too for coming and just blessing our home. But you know, we got a greater blessing that's coming forth in Revelation chapter 2. Revelation chapter 2, we begin looking at toward the church of Ephesus as we are continuing our trip through the book of the Revelation. Y'all remember, anybody remember the movie This Is Your Life? Yeah, that was pretty neat, wasn't it? How about the movie Father Knows Best? Well, I know how old some of you are now. and I think this is kind of like that. Or maybe for some of you younger generation, how about Back to the Future? Yeah, y'all remember that? If you put all three of these movies titles together, then all of a sudden you have a picture of the Revelation. Because what you're doing, you're going to the future. What you're doing, present day. What you're doing, you're looking toward the past. So all these things are coming together. So as we begin to think through the churches, we're in our second phase now. First church was the past, looking at Jesus Christ. Now we're moving into the church ages. We'll be looking at seven different churches and the different church ages. And then we will also be sharing with you exactly what time period that these churches fall in. And there'll be an overlapping from the church of Ephesus to the church of the Laodicea. We are living in the last church age. Nothing needs to happen before the Lord Jesus comes back. It's ready. Time set, the program set, the plan set. All the Lord has to do is just blow the trumpet. And when the trumpet sounds, the dead's going to rise. And we who are alive are going to be called up together and meet the Lord. So that time is present. So we're not living on the... we are living on the edge, just waiting for the upper taker any minute. I know some of you are waiting for the undertaker, but I'm waiting for the upper taker, and that time is. So as you study this, think about the past. Then ask yourself, how does this apply to me today? What about the present time? And then how does it apply to me personally? We're not just going to be talking about history. We're not going to just be talking about prophecy. We're going to be talking about what is God doing in and your life today. So, if we had three foundational statements, we would say that the seven churches are going to be seven historical churches. They're going to be seven practical churches, and then they're going to be seven church ages. A real rule of thumb, as we look at these seven churches that you could go through, you could see, first of all, that He's going to commend the church. Secondly, the Lord is going to show forth the complaint. And then He's going to show forth the counsel. So many times people think about the Revelation as just being doom and gloom. No, it's not. Man, it's opening up into a brand new day. Many positive things are going to be showing you in your life. And God is going to reveal those things to us because the Word of God is alive. It's progressive. We're not reading an obituary. We're reading a birth announcement. It's kind of like God is right in front of us. The whole eternity's right in front of us. And we're going to discover these many things that are going to be happening with us today. So let's begin Revelation chapter 2, verse 1. Unto the angel of the church of Ephesus write, these things saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. I know thy works, and thy labor, and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil. And thou hast tried them which say they are apostles, and are not, and has found them to be liars. And has borne, and has patience, and for my name's sake has labored, and has not fainted. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Remember therefore from whence thou art falling, and repent, and do the first works. Or else I will come unto thee quickly, and will remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent. But this thou hast. Thou hatest the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. God bless His Word. And I tell you what, when you begin to think about this, it's one of those hard things. I got so much I want to give you, and so little time that I'm going to share with you, so therefore, y'all listen fast. In looking at this first part of here, it says, unto the angel of the church in Ephesus. What do we have here? We have here a special message. This is a message that God the Father gave to Jesus Christ, the Son, that gave to the angel, that gave to John, that says, that gave to us today, to the pastor, to the church, an angel. An angel. So therefore, we have a very special message right here. And as you begin to think about these words, God is guiding us with His messengers. Now, you might say, now wait a minute. Who's the angel? Is there an angel in your house? Yes, she's sitting right here in the center. There is an angel in my house. I remember talking or listening to Dr. Rogers one time. He told his wife, because, you know, angels are always mentioned in the masculine form in the Bible, okay? Sorry, ladies, it's always in the masculine form. And so, therefore, Dr. Rogers said, honey, says, Bible says that, you know, if there's an angel in the house, it's the man. And she very candidly said, also remember, in the Bible, it also talks about fallen angels. So, inside of our life, there is two types of angels. But the angels that I'm talking about are angels that God has a messenger. He is delivering a special message to the church in Ephesus, a historical, practical, current day type message. But also when he sends this word unto the angels, that gives another idea right in there. That God has an angel. Did you remember that it was an angel that guided the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt? It was an angel that went to Mary and told her about the birth of Jesus. It was an angel that went to Joseph and said that the child that she is with is from the Holy Ghost. It was an angel that God sent angels. You know what we have today? We have angels. And angels are watching over us. And you can say, oh, come on now, is that really true? Absolutely. Absolutely. In Matthew chapter 18 and verse 10, the scripture says, take heed that ye yourself despise not the little ones. For I say unto you, that in heaven their angels do always behold the face of my Father which is in heaven. They're angels. Angels watching over you. So sometimes if you think, man, I'm getting a little bit afraid, just remember, somebody, creation of God, messenger of God, is watching over you. Wherever you might be. So God wants to encourage us that. I listened to a message from John Hagee, and he said on, I think it was December the 21st, I believe it was 1974, he said a madman walked into the church where he was preaching, got 8 feet away from him, pulled up a gun, and shot 6 times at him, and missed him. And he said the next day the FBI or the police came in, and they did a measurement. And they showed they took a plank, and there were 3 bullet holes on one side, and there were 3 bullet holes on the other side. John Hagee believes to this day it was an angel that came in and ministered to that need. See, angels are for real. Angels are God's messengers. And so therefore, to the church there in Ephesus, all of a sudden we begin to see something that's happening. But I want you to see what's happening right here is coming from a very special person. Look at the special messenger, verse 1. The scripture says, these things saith he that holdeth the 7 stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the 7 golden candlesticks. Now, do y'all remember what the stars are? The angels, that's right. The angels of the church, the messengers, we would say the pastors. Pastors being a messenger there. And also, what are the 7 golden candlesticks? That's the 7 churches. Exactly right. And you pick that up in verse 20. Chapter 1, verse 20. So, who do we have here? We've got a special messenger. We have a message from Jesus Christ Himself. And what Jesus Christ is telling us today, you thought you were going to come here this morning and just sing a few hymns and praise God and go to the house, but you didn't realize that we were going to have so many special guests coming here. Now, I'm not talking about Nathaniel Wendy. And my family scattered all over here. I'm talking about the Lord Jesus. When you walked in that door, the Lord Jesus was here. Prove it to me. The scripture says that He is the one who was walking amongst the candlesticks. He is the one who is walking among the churches. So therefore, as we see this very special person, the characteristics of Jesus, He is here, He is there, and He's wanting us to understand. Now, what can you do with that? How can you apply that to your life? Sometimes we need to have an encouraging word to help us face tomorrow. And one of the encouraging words that will help us face tomorrow is coming with the Lord Jesus walking into you. He walks over to the side of you and He whispers into your ear some neat things. One of the things He can whisper in your ear is, get ready for the battle. Get ready for the battle. Tomorrow you're going to face it, but guess what? I'm going to be with you. And you might say in your heart, well, what am I supposed to do? And He would tell you out of Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10 and 11, He'd say, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. That's what He would tell you. He would say, when you walk out of these doors, put on the whole armor. Don't go by yourself. I'm with you now. I got your back. But I want you to go with me. You see, when you walked in today, He was waiting on you. And you'll hear a special message. Sometime it'll be from the song. Sometime it'll be from the scripture reading. Sometime it'll be from special guests. Sometime when you're just reading the word. Sometime from the pastor. You will hear a word from the Lord which will be special for you. Many times God will bring something into your heart and mind that's not even comparing with what's going on. But God walks over to you and He puts His arm around you. Jesus Christ walks over to you and He puts His arm around you. And He says, son, listen to this. And you might say, well, where's that coming from? It's God's Holy Spirit. He's here today. He's here to work with us. And so therefore, when we begin to understand this, He will teach us of a significant message. He says, look, I got something I want you to hear. Kind of like my Aunt Imogene. Aunt Imogene yesterday went to the funeral in Jacksonville, Florida. And when I flew down there, all of a sudden, Aunt Imogene, I walked in the door, and she put her arm around me, she carried me to the side, and she started talking. You gotta know Aunt Imogene. 90 to nothing. Okay? Love her to death. And she was telling me about what God was doing and the glory of God and how to pray for her husband who'd passed and a lot of other things. She had a message that she wanted to share with me. Listen, God has a message when you get with His people. And so therefore, there's a significant message that God has for us today. Look in verse 2. He says, I know thy works and thy labor and thy patience and how thou canst not bear them which are evil. And thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them to be liars. I want you to see several things. Here's a significant message. The Lord Jesus is saying there's a spiritual observation. Now remember, as we go through there, there are 7 historical churches, 7 church ages, 7 prophetical meanings. Okay. In the light of this, there's something in here for us today. Many times, God will speak to these 7 churches, but there's going to be an overlapping. In other words, we will find out certain pieces that will fit together with you as an individual. You have to look at the whole ball of wax, and I'll encourage you to go to our website. And we're going to try to get the whole ball of wax on it before it's all over with. But what we're looking at right here in this special message, the Lord is saying, I know thy works. I know thy ergon. Ergon. Oh, now that's a good word, isn't it? I know thy toil, thy impact, the labor. I know what you're doing. Oh, have you ever felt like nobody knows what you're doing? But He says, I know what you're doing when you're teaching Sunday school class. I know your works. I know what you're doing when you're cutting the grass. I know what you're doing on Wednesday night when you're preparing for the music so that the choirs, when they come up here and they sing for those few minutes, they bless our hearts. I know what you're doing when you're typing late Saturday night and you're getting ready for that worship service on Sunday morning. I know what you're doing. I know what you're doing when you take that cake over to the neighbor and encourage them. I know what you're doing when you're doing the Sunday school record and nobody knows about it. I know what you're doing when you're calling somebody about angel food. I know what you're doing. Hey, that's what He says to us. I know what you're doing. But also the same is true. I know what you're not doing. See, I know what you're doing, but I know what you're not doing too. And He says, I know some of the works and all that you're performing. I know these type of things. But also He goes on to say, I know thy works, the ergon. I know thy labor, the kapos there. I know thy, that word could be translated weariness. Do you ever get weary? I'm talking about for the cause of Christ, okay? Do you ever get, you work so hard and you get inside of it and your body might be tired, your mind might be tired, your spirit might be tired. There's a weariness in there. Well, what is weariness? Let me give you an idea what weariness is. You go to work and you put in your 8-hour shift and you're ready to do what? You're ready to go home. Kick off your shoes, relax, eat supper. But all of a sudden, 7.5 hours into your shift, next person calls up and said, look, I got a cough today. Actually, the fish are biting. But I got a cough today. I can't make it today. And so all of a sudden, what happens? Now you have to work 2 shifts. And when all of a sudden, when you're hitting there and it's about 16 hours down the road and you're getting toward the end of that shift, you know what you start doing? You start getting weary. You start getting weary. That's what he's talking about right here. He says, I know your work, what you've been performing and doing, but I also know the weariness when you're carrying it all the way, when you're moving. And he says, I also know your patience. That word patience right there. The word patience comes from a word that means endurance, consistency. When you're staying with the stuff, what is he telling us here? Nothing is going to go unnoticed. Nothing. I know your works. But secondly, he goes on to tell us, well, he's teaching us there about something else, and he said, and thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them to be liars. You know what the church needs? More today than ever, the church needs for people to rise up and say, look, if it's in the book, it's real. If it's not in the book, it's trash. Let's just take it just the way it is. If God says it, that settles it. Whether anybody wants to believe it or not, whether it's politically correct or not, when God says it, that's it. And when people try to come along and try to teach something that's not in the book, you know what we ought to call them? What they call them? Liar? Boy, wouldn't you like to walk up to somebody's face, point your old long preaching finger in their face and say, you liar? Oh, that's not politically correct, is it? But it's right. In the church, it was right. When they put a bishop over a large group of people who's a homosexual, somebody needs to walk up there and point that long bony finger and say, you are a liar. Because that's not right with the Word of God. And when somebody comes along and says, hey, look, we ought to have the abortion clinics. Somebody ought to walk up in their point blank finger and say, you are a liar. Taking children's life, that is murder. Somebody needs to rise up and say, look, hey, the prophets in the church, God speaks to us. Because the church was a working church. The church was a doctrinally sound church. But it's easy to accommodate evil. How does that happen? Vice is a monster of such vicious mien as to be hated, needs but to be seen. But seen too often, familiar with her face. We first endure, then pity, then embrace. Y'all remember that old song that talked about a snake in the house? Come on, somebody help me. Y'all, man, there's an old, wasn't gospel song. Only gospel song I know about the snakes is when they brought out the snakes and who was it, Toby Lister or somebody said, where do you want that back door? I do, that's the only one. But anyhow, they're one of the old songs back there in my other life in which they used to sing about a snake just warming up and, hey, look, we need to warm up. And we need to be doctrinally sound. What about the book? What does the Bible say? Teach us that inside of the church. And if it's not lining up with the Scripture, then it's wrong, no matter how you cut it. But then he goes on to say, in verse 3, he says, thou hast borne and hast patience, and for my name's sake has labored and has not fainted. Do you know what that word faint? You've labored. You know what faint means? All of a sudden, a guy, well, I'll tell you more, a faint. Here's what happens. when my daughter goes and they give blood of one of the little ones, and they bring out that needle and they start to put that needle in one of the little ones, and she goes, ah, some truth to that, okay? You know, have you ever seen a needle and just wanted to faint out? I got chicken blood, by the way. When they go after my blood, I start quacking. You know what? But some people just faint. You know, all of a sudden you get some medicine, you get a word from somebody, and it's a disturbing word, and all of a sudden, boom, you faint. That's what we think about faint. But this Greek word is a different word. This Greek word right here means backing away from, not giving 100%, not being totally in there. So what he's telling us is when you are in laboring and serving and enduring for the Lord, if you start backing away from something, you're fainting. You're fainting away. What about this church? They didn't faint, folks. They stuck with the stuff. They went the full charge. They went all the way. They were ready to give their life and died, and many of them did during this period of age, in this time. Many of them in this age time in which we're talking about, they were said, take this little pinch of salt and just put it over here and say, Caesar is Lord, and you live. Or if you don't, this is what I'm going to do to you. I'm going to wrap you up in cloth. I'm going to soak you in tar. And I'm going to burn you in, I believe it was Domitian, I'm going to burn you in his garden as a torch to light up his rose garden. All you have to do is just say, take a little pinch and say, Caesar's Lord. But you know what these guys would do? Rather than that, they were willing to say, no, Jesus is Lord. They stuck with the stuff. Sometimes we want to back off in the churches and start fainting away. And God says, not so. My church isn't going to do that. My people aren't going to do that. My people are going to stay with the stuff no matter what. Going to go all the way. But after he told them all these great things, this church. Man, wouldn't you want to join a church like that? Wouldn't you want a church that's highly motivated? Wouldn't you want a church that's doctrinally? Wouldn't you want a church that's on fire for Jesus? That's the kind of church this church needs and must be. That's the kind of church you want to be a part of. One that says, I don't care how many diapers I got to change. I don't care how many times I got to go. I don't care how many doors I got to knock on. I don't care how many food baskets I'm going to deliver or how much food I'm going to stay with the stuff, because I'm doing this for my Lord, Savior, Jesus Christ. And I'm not going to back off. No, I may get weary in the battle, but I'm not going to get weary of the work. Jesus comes along and says, look, this great church right here. But he says, nevertheless. And when he says nevertheless, folks, we can say, uh-oh, because there's a serious deficiency right here. He says, nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Man, y'all should have been with me last night. We were flying back from Atlanta to Birmingham. Sat down, I started reading a book about the persecution over in China and all. And a guy looked at this book, and the girl said, you going on a mission trip? I says, no, I'm just reading about this. And I shared that I'd been going to a mission trip. And the guy spoke up. He had this smile on his face. I should have known something was up. He had this smile, and she was over there. She was just melting. And they said, we're just now coming back from our honeymoon in Jamaica. And boy, it was wonderful. I mean, boy, you could just see the sugar just rolling off of them. You know what? I mean, it was great just to see them. Oh, he was in the National Guard wanting to be a pilot. I mean, all these were great things. And we talked. We just had a great time. Because you know what? They were in love. How else can I say that? You know what? In love sometimes means when you're driving down the road and you see one body and two heads. Y'all know what I'm talking about? You can tell the difference, though, after age. A few years later, you see the man 10 feet in front and the woman following with the food in the basket. And you know, God wants us to be in love. He says, do you remember your first love? Do you remember your honeymoon? Do you remember all the sweet things? Nevertheless, the church is going to be held accountable. There's a serious change in the direction that occurred upon the heart and the mind. Nevertheless, because thou hast left thy first love. Now, it tells me two things. One, it tells me, first of all, they were madly in love. And the second thing, it tells me there was a departure. Thou hast left thy first love. So we need to remember, and we need to be restored. What type of love do we need to be restored into? Hey, does anybody remember the Garden of Eden? Yeah. You know what? Oh, Adam and Eve, they were walking through the garden. They didn't worry about fads. They didn't worry about the latest trends of clothing. I mean, they were just walking through the garden. And you know what they were doing? And they were talking with God. It was so neat. That was their first love. They were walking with the Father. Hey, what about your first love? Do you remember it? Do you remember your honeymoon? Must not. Do you remember something that happened? I mean, look. Therefore, the falling of love, well, what he's telling us right here is that there's a serious problem. Now, with a serious problem, there needs to be a solution to the deficiency. And the solution to the deficiency is this. Remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works. So what does he tell us? Change the course of your passion. Change the course of your passion. Where are you falling away from? Has there ever been a time in your life in which you were more in love with God than you are right now? If there's ever been a time in your life which you were more in love with God than you are right now, then you have fainted. If there's ever been a time in your life when you were more in love with God, then you have backslidden. If there's ever been a time, and folks, this is serious stuff. God wants us to be with Him in that garden type of fellowship. That first love. That passion. That burning. He says, change the course of your passion. He said, remember. And then he said, once you fix it in your mind, he says, repent. Now, repent can be coming two different directions. First of all, repentance or repent can mean change of direction. But there's another aspect of repent. Re means again. Pente means high, like the penthouse. So, again, return again to the highest. Return again, not to the penthouse, but return again to the highest type of love. He says, remember the love that you had and return again to that love. It's significant for us right here. And then after you turn again, thinking about these things, then he says, not only remember from which you have fallen, but repent, change your direction. Go back to that place where if you walked away from God, go back to the last time that you were walking with Him and say, Jesus, let's lock in. Let's make this a starting point. Let's let the passion of God just kick in and burn and overflow. Because the third thing he says, remember, repent, and then he says, do the first works. Hey, do the first works. React. Do the first works. Soul winning. Do the first work. Teaching. Do the first works. Loving your neighbor. Do the first works. Training those children. Do the first works with God. And folks, when you get things right with God, people are going to know it. You got to have it inside of you. Remember, repent, and do. If all you do is remember, oh, that's wonderful. But that won't get you anywhere. If all you do is repent, that's wonderful. But that won't get you anywhere. If you don't do something about it, this is what's going to happen. The next part of this verse kicks in. And the part of this verse kicks in, it says, remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen, repent and do the first works, or else, boy, don't you like those words, or else, man, if you don't clean up your house, what mama say? You know, if you don't, you can do this or else. And that's what our loving Heavenly Father says. Or else I will come unto you. How quickly? You won't even see it coming. This, all of a sudden, he tells us something very important right here. You're not even going to see it coming yet. I'm going to come so quickly upon you. And this is what I'm going to do. I will remove thy candlestick out of his place. What does the candlestick represent? The church, if we don't have a passion for our first love, He will remove the church out of its place. You know, I kind of think about that in two ways. One way is this. If we don't have a passion for Christ, sometimes I don't know if it's the church that moves to the side or we move to the side of the church. But He says this, I'm not going to be walking among you. I'm not going to be firing you up. I'm not going to be protecting you. You got a choice. For me, it's all or nothing. It's not a smorgasbord. If you're going to be with God and you're going to care with Him all the way to the end, this is so serious right here. Leaving that first love, it's so serious right here that He says, I will move out. I will move the church away. And folks, you take the church out of the community and what you got? You got anarchy. You got sin on the rampage. Church, by the way, who's this message to? Is this message to the lost? The answer is no, it's to the church. He says, church, it's time to fire up. If you don't, I'll move out. And folks, when you're on your own, you don't have anything. I will move out. My spirit will just, I'll take my spirit away from that church being anointed church. And if you want to see a picture of it, I'll give you a picture of it. All you have to do is go to England right now. When you take the doctrine, when you take the passion, when I read in one place, at one time, there was 4,000 churches in England up for sale. 4,000. Why? Because nobody was going to it. Why? Because the candlestick had been taken away. The presence and the power of the Holy Spirit had been moved away. Why? Because they lost their first love. Now, He goes on real quickly. He goes on right here and He says, I will move it quickly out of its place, except thou repent. But then He commends them. In verse 6 He says, but this thou hast, thou hatest the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which deeds I also hate. Nicolaitans. Y'all ever heard those guys? Nicolaitans. Not Nickelodeons. Okay. There's a big difference between Nicolaitans and Nicolaitans. Nicolaitans, we go back into the day of Ephesus. Three different translations, three different interpretations right here. And I'm going to give you all three of them, but we'll lean more to one. Sometimes I'm going to tell you interpretations. Sometimes I'm going to tell you fact. That's it. Forget it, Jack. Okay? But right here, there's three interpretations about this word Nicolaitans. Nicolaitans, number one, some interpreters will say it was the followers of Nicholas. Nicholas, who was one of the ordained teachers in the church of Jerusalem, that he apostatized, he left the church, and he carried a following with him. Nicholas. The second interpretation of this is the doctrine of Balaam, the Nicolaitans, the doctrine of Balaam. And that is the doctrine of carnality. That is the doctrine of carnality in the picture in which they had in the city of Ephesus. They had this temple. And this temple there was a temple of prostitutes. And people would come in and they would do this sexual immorality and they would pay the church money for that sexual immorality. Folks, God says, I hate that. The church of Ephesus said, I hate that. And so therefore, when we have sexual immorality today, that lines up on the side that God says, I hate. The third interpretation of this word is also to be found in Nicholas. You have to break the word Niko, meaning victory, laos, meaning people, victory over the people. In other words, it was a group who came in and said, look, we've got all the answers. If you got to come for us. If you don't come to us, we're going to be in control and we're going to be ruling and we're going to be reigning. And you, if you don't come to me, you don't have it. Let me give you a picture of that. Picture of that is the Roman Catholic Church in the early stages. They used to have, the Bible was written only in Latin, and only those hierarchy could read the Bible in Latin, and the common people could not even read the Word. And so therefore they said, you come to us, victory over the people, and God says, I hate that. What does God want? God wants the Word of God to be in the hearts of individual people. God wants you to be able to read His Word and so that you can respond to Him and you can have a passion with Him like you've never had before. He wants you to have passion with Him, not some hierarchy trying to tell you who He is and what He can do, what you can do, what you can't do. Folks, the priesthood of the believer says this, you have direct access to the throne of grace. The priesthood of believers says you, as an individual, been born again, you can go to the Father and you can pray through the Spirit, or pray through you to the Son, Jesus Christ, who is the intercessor, and therefore you can reach and be, you can reach God. Let the Word of God be in the hearts of the people. But there was, during that period of time, that's when the beginning of a hierarchy began to arise, and you can see that in the history of the church. Many people, for this word right here, for the Word of God to be printed in the English language, people died. That's facts. God says, I hate that. Church said, I hate that. But now let me conclude with this. There's an invitation that's coming from the Spirit in verse 7. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. You see, there's an invitation. There's an invitation for you. And where's that invitation coming from? It's coming from the Holy Spirit. Here's an invitation. You, for you, for you, and for you. I've got something I want you to know about. And so the Spirit says, if you're open to the Holy Spirit, He will speak to you. He will say the words to the church. And what will He say? To him that overcometh, will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the paradise of God? Hey, a couple of major things right here. The tree of life. When's the last time you heard about the tree of life? In the Garden of Eden. Exactly right. It was in the Garden of Eden. And then after the flood, probably destroyed. Where did it go? It sounded like, well, the flood destroyed it all away and it's all gone. Wrong. The tree of life is in the presence of the Father. And one day Christ is going to return. And one day Christ is going to set up this kingdom. And one day He's going to rule and reign for 1,000 years. And one day Christ is going to come back and He's going to touch the Mount of Olives. And the Mount of Olives is going to split. And one day there's going to be this river that's flowing. And it's going to have 12 trees on either side. And people will eat that fruit and they will be healed. And one day when Christ comes back, what's going to happen? There's going to be the tree of life. And all of those who are believers in Jesus Christ will be able to go. He will allow them to go and eat of the tree of life, and you will be able to partake forever. And wait a minute, that also tells me something else. It says in the midst of paradise. Hey, that talks about heaven for me. That talks about home for me. Hey, there is a place. There is a paradise. There is a tree of life. And it's waiting. It's waiting for who? It's waiting for those who will open up to the Holy Spirit. It's waiting for those. He says, to you that overcome and you be victorious in this world, in this life, I will give you the eat of the tree of life. And you will be able to live with me eternity in the paradise of God. So what are we to do today? What are we to do today? Where's your heart? Where's your passion? Have you fainted away from your first love? Maybe you've never been born again. You've never experienced genuine love. Genuine love is when you fall in love with Jesus Christ and He comes into your heart. That's genuine love. That's pure love. That's Garden of Eden type love. He comes into your life and you have that great love. Where are you today? Are you all out? Or you say, well, I'm on the sideline. Are you all out? No, I'm fading away. Are you all out? Oh, I forgot. Are you passionate? Hey, let's fire up for Jesus Christ. He's worthy. Let's be on the road. Let's get ready. Let's go to the garden. Let's eat the tree of life. Let's go to the paradise of God. You overcome, you'll be there. Let's pray. Father, as we come before You today, we come praising Your name. And Lord, the great things that are right in front of us. But in order to get there, Lord, we've got to sell out to You, Jesus. We don't want to faint. We don't want to be quitters. But God, we want to give it all to You. Lord, I pray during this time of quietness right here that people are opening up their hearts because the Holy Spirit says, he that hath an ear, let him hear. Father, help us to get our eyes off of this world and think about the world to come. Help us to get our eyes off the system of this world and be passionate about our love for Jesus Christ. And let us work until Jesus comes. Let us labor, grow weary in doing the work of the Lord. Let us have endurance for you. Father, we praise your name. And now, Lord, for those people who need to repent this morning and again turn to the highest passion, change of character, Lord, I ask that there be an outpouring of your Holy Spirit right now, as people will reaffirm their faith, reaffirm their love, reaffirm their passion. Help them, each one, Lord, to go back into the mind and remember from where they have fallen. Holy Spirit, that's your job. Remember from where thou art fallen. Help them again to turn to you right now and repent, change that character, direction, passion. And now, Lord, do the first works. Do the first works. For those who have never accepted Christ, Father, I pray that right now they'll be saved. They'll come forth and say, Jesus, I want Jesus in my heart. And we'll pray with them. Father, I pray right now, as you move in this congregation, may you be glorified in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand together and sing a hymn of invitation as the Holy Spirit.